Let us turn, shall we, again to John's Gospel. First of all, in chapter 1, and then in chapter 14. I suppose if we were to reduce to simplest terms the content of our meditation on our Lord Jesus Christ on such an occasion as this, as we remember him and show forth his death in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, we could sum it up in these words: He came. He comes. And so we're looking now at John chapter 1, where the great event and fact that he came is set before us in incomparable terms. The first verse of the Gospel: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now shall we look at that other great event spoken of by our Lord Jesus in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And here he says these lovely words: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have in these two scriptures the word receive. And in its particular form, in these two areas of John's Gospel, it is the same. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came the first time from where he was to where we were, that we might receive him where we are. But when this word occurs the next time in its particular form, we find it in John chapter 14. And there our Lord makes reference to his coming again. And in that regard, he comes to receive us to himself, that we might be with him where he is. What a glorious contrast. We have been thinking very much this morning of his first coming. The emblems before us speak of that so eloquently. not only of the fact that he came, but what he did when he came. It is very important today for us to appreciate who the Lord Jesus Christ is. His name expresses who he is and what he came to do. His name is Jesus, God, the Savior. When I was in the prisons of Red China, after my Bible had been taken away from me, I found a little tract. It was a Tibetan tract, but in that language there were certain portions of John's Gospel. And in that place where they had no time for Christ, where they did not want his word, and where people would blaspheme if you mentioned his lovely name, I read these words. In the beginning was the word, and I found a little stub of pencil, and I put it in over the words on the little tract, over the Tibetan letters. I wrote the pre-existent one. And then I read the Word was with God, and I wrote in my little stub of pencil over those words, yes, the co-existent one. And then I read the Word was God, and with my little pencil I wrote the words over the Tibetan letters in this phrase, the divinely existent one. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. All things are delivered unto me, saith the Lord Jesus, of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. But then come these remarkable words. And he, to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He came. He declared him. He revealed him. He brought the Father to us. So that he could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And yet the Son is not the Father. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father did not die on the cross. It was the Son of God who gave himself on the cross for me. It was the Father who gave the Son. That is important. It is important for us to understand the unity of the Godhead. That when the Son came into the world, this one who is the eternal Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became what we were, albeit apart from sin. But he most certainly remained who he was. It was not that deity and humanity mingled in our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no commingling. It is perhaps not even true to say that deity and humanity were combined in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is nevertheless proper to say our Lord Jesus Christ is God. And our Lord Jesus Christ is man. It is not that he is partly God and partly man. He, this one unique personality, is truly God and truly man. This is most important today that these distinctions be made. Because in certain quarters they are not being made. Our Lord Jesus is the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Yet he is God manifest in the flesh. And so we can come to our God in him. He knows all things about us as God through his omniscience. But he experiences all things of our manhood because he became man. And thus he feels all things by his experience. How beautiful and wonderful this is. Let us not diminish it. Let us acknowledge it. Let us own it. The Spirit of God did not die on the cross. The Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. It was Christ who died for our sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But that word there means that God, through and by Christ, was reconciling the world unto himself. It is not biblical to say that God died on the cross, but it is biblical to say that the one who died on the cross is God. Nor are these hair-splitting things. These are scriptural verities. And we do well today to look afresh at that one who came, as to who he really is, and as to what he really did. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came, essentially divine, become essentially human, yet remaining essentially divine, without sin, and yet taking up the likeness of sin's flesh. That is not to say that Satan had anything in the body or the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan had nothing in him. He cometh, says the Lord Jesus, but he hath nothing in me. In him is no sin. And he did no sin. And he knew no sin. He is the only begotten of the Father. And that which is born of the Father sinneth not. It was not in his nature. He took up flesh and blood in the likeness of sin's flesh. That is to say that when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. Yes, he came into the world made of a woman, made under the law. He came into the world in that mode in which everyone else comes into the world. Yet he did not partake of any of the sinful nature, either of Mary, and most certainly not of Joseph, who had no part. And so we learn from the scriptures that a body hast thou prepared me, a divine preparation for the divine person of the Son of God, a body that would most suitably express him. For when God becomes visible, when the invisible God is seen, then he is a man. You and I are made in the image of God. But Christ is not an expression of God. He is God himself expressed. So that when we look at the Lord Jesus, we see the express image of the infinite. His name indeed an angel's grasp transcends. We need to get back to historic and biblical understanding of the deity, the humanity, the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ as set forth in the holy word of God. Otherwise we will be, as it were, swayed by ancient errors in modern forms. We have come to remember him as he is, not as people imagine him to be, as he is set forth in the Word. And so this is the one who came. And they didn't receive him. But to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. He that denies the doctrine of the Father and the Son is a partaker of the spirit of Antichrist. We need a pure word today from the Word of God concerning the true deity and humanity, the unique personality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not diminish him. Let us see that he is extolled for who he really is. He came. He came. He came from where he was, that we might receive him where we are. But oh, praise God, as we have taken the bread and drunk of the cup, how wonderful to know he comes. And so we read the second passage, where this little word receive in this particular form occurs again. And our Lord Jesus is speaking of the day when he will come again, not so much for us to receive him here where we are, but that he might receive us to himself and have us where he is. You know, one Lord's Day, some months ago, I was speaking at an assembly in the London area. After the meeting, I was taken to the home of some friends. And there was an unconverted lady there, as far as I could tell, as I spoke with her. Whilst the husband and wife were getting the dinner ready, I had the opportunity of talking to her. She told me a strange story. She told me of a dream. And I was immediately put on my guard. Because when people start to tell you about dreams, you wonder what's coming. But it was very interesting. She told how, I suppose months before, how in her dream there was a great torrent of water, a river coming down, and she was trying to cross a bridge with her mother to get to the other side. But the torrent swept the bridge away, and her mother was lost in the stream. But she somehow managed to get to the other side. And she said, then I saw a mountain, and there was light upon the mountain. And somehow we just got talking. And she felt constrained to tell me this story, because she had been in Canada at the time, but had now, as it were, come over to the other side and was in England. But more than that, after the dream, she did lose her mother. Her mother died. And so as she told me this story, which obviously was a strange experience to her, I said, it looks as if you've come to the mountain. She had come to the light. And I explained to her the way of salvation. And God greatly helped me. And after a little while, of course, when the explanation had been basically completed in its most simple form, the dinner was ready. We had it. And then I only saw her at the evening meeting, and I didn't see her again that day. But when I spoke on the Tuesday evening at that assembly, you know, she was there. She was there. And I spoke on our Lord Jesus coming again to receive us unto himself. Beautiful words. That we might be with him where he is. Oh, it's only those that receive him who came the first time and receive him here where we are who will be received by him when he comes the second time to be with him where he is. I spoke about this wonderful and impending event. And you know, right there in the meeting, to the absolute astonishment of us all, suddenly this lady said, I would love to be received by the Lord Jesus. Just like that. And I spoke to her right there in the meeting. And afterwards, one of the elders and myself, we talked to her some more, and had prayer with her. And as far as we can tell, she came into a full assurance of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing how the truth of God can touch a heart. Oh, how he moves us when we think of who he is and how he came and what he did. And yet we do this until he comes. This same Jesus. Sometimes an even an unconverted soul can be more moved concerning that great matter than those that profess to love him. He's coming again to receive us unto himself. Oh, that our heart's cry may look onward as we shout the words, oh, I shall love to be received by the Lord Jesus. And yet how strangely apathetic we can be about these things. I was speaking, you know, once to a dear old skipper up in the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic, and he was telling me how that when the launch or the small boat comes to one of the remoter islands to get the men to go away to the capital, to Torshavn, where the big trawler will take them away perhaps into the North Atlantic for several months fishing. He says, you know, when the day comes for the men to go from the little island, they all go down to the quay with their loved ones, with their wives and with their children. And he says, as they're there, they're all talking and chatting together. But then suddenly somebody sees the launch coming to take them away. And he says, as soon as the boat comes to take them away, he says, a great change comes over the group and the crowd on the quayside. He says, suddenly everybody breaks up. And there's just the man with his wife and his children. Just the man and his loved ones. And you see little groups all over the quayside. Every man with his own. That's what he told me. And he said something else. He said that was how it was with the Lord Jesus when he was going away. I've thought about it. Yes, the Lord Jesus had spoken in the crowds. He'd spoken in the temple courts. He'd spoken on the hillside to the multitudes. But now he was going away. And he left the crowds, and he gathered his own loved ones around him, and he began to speak to them the things that their hearts would receive. And he says, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you orphans, though. I'm sending another comforter, but I am going away. I'm going to the Father. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back again. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You know, this feast, this supper, this Lord's Day takes us back to that scene. This one who is God. This one who is man. Yet one personality, not divided. Not composite. Truly God, truly man, that man might meet his God in him. Oh, with what tenderness he gathers his own around him. You know, he's come here this morning, and he's gathered us around him. And he says these words as we partake of the bread and the wine, this precious cup. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This do until I come. And we do. But then the old skipper told me another story, and he said, you know, one day the boat was coming back. And he said, the people went down onto the wharf. They thought, well, the boat's coming. We'll stay. And there was the wife and the children and many little groups. And they were all there waiting for the boat to come in. And, you know, it didn't come. And the shadows lengthened in the fjords. And the sun went down across the ranges. The darkness of the night closed in and the stars came out. And one by one, they thought, the boat's not coming. All we can do is to go back home. And group by group and family by family and one by one, they went back. And they slept. But you know, in the middle of the night, suddenly there was such a shout, and there was such a cry. The boat was in, but they weren't there. But oh, it didn't take them long to get there. And out of bed they tumbled, and down to the quayside. The boat was in and into the arms of their loved ones. But it was the midnight hour, and they hadn't watched to a finish. He came. He comes. He came that we might receive him here unto ourselves. But oh, he's coming that he might receive us unto himself, that we might be with him where he is. Thou art coming, oh my Savior, oh my Savior, promised long. We read the words, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the inauguration of law? You read about it in Exodus 19. There are some very suggestive phrases. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet, exceeding loud, the voice of the trumpet. And then we read, and God answered Moses by a voice. There's the voice, and there's the trumpet. And what do we read? The Lord descended upon Sinai in fire. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Then we read, and the Lord came down. And after that we read, and Moses went up into the mount. That was the inauguration of law. The Lord himself descending upon Sinai with a voice and with the trumpet. And Moses went up into the mount. Now, if that's the inauguration of law, what will be the consummation of grace? The grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you what that consummation is. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what will happen to us? We will go up. We shall be caught up to be forever with the Lord. And if the inauguration of law was glorious, how much more glorious shall be the consummation of grace in that great day when he comes to receive us unto himself, and myriad, myriad souls shall mirror in their resurrection bodies the very likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. But the mercy of God is great. Whether we wake or whether we sleep, we shall be together with him. But all to be unashamed before him at his coming. But to realize that not only at this gathering this morning is the Lord present. We gathered here last night. He was present then. Were you? He was here, no doubt, at other meetings in this place. in this past week. He was here. Were you? Today we have spoken of his matchless worth. We have spoken of his glorious names. We have spoken of his wonder, his magnificence, his splendor. Are these but words? If you think he's so wonderful, how is it you don't meet with him more often and gather to him when he's here? There's one thing you know that the Lord Jesus will not stand, and that is hypocrisy. It is not enough to say who he is. Do you know what C.T. Studd said, that great missionary? He grasped the great reality of the identity of Jesus Christ. And do you know what he said? If Jesus Christ be God, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God, he said, die for me. No sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Today we've said it, who he is, what he's done. If we believe it, we shall be with him as he meets his people, and we will look for him in his coming again. He came. He comes. Shall we pray? Gracious God, for the inestimable privilege of worship at so fathomless a cost, we thank thee. Help us to treasure thy memory always. And, O God, to be as those who wait for their Lord, for the Lord himself. O God, bless us each one and take us forth as those who have worshipped to witness, to speak those things which we have seen and heard, that others too here may receive thee, Lord Jesus, to themselves, that when you come again, they with us might be received to yourself, and be in those mansions that your pierced hands today prepare. Bless us each one, give us joy, and, O God, make us real. For his dear name's sake.